Let's lift our hands to the Most High God and begin to bless His holy name. Let us bless the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Let's bless the Ancient of Days. Let's give Him glory, give Him honor, give Him adoration. Praise Him. The one who has kept you till today, bless His holy name. He's worthy to be praised, He's worthy to be adored, He's worthy to be magnified. Praise Him. Praise the King of Kings, praise the Lord of Lords. Praise the Alpha and the Omega, the unchangeable Lord. Magnify His holy name. He's worthy to be praised. Bless Him. Let Him hear your voice. Let Him hear you say, Father, I love you. Father, I bless your name. Father, I give you all glory. I give you all honor. I give you all adoration. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worshipped. Now lift your voice to Him and say, Father, every day of this convention, please answer my prayers. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Every day of this convention, O Lord, please answer my prayers. Almighty God, please answer my prayers every day of this convention. Answer my prayers, O Lord. Every day of this convention, Lord, please answer my prayers. Answer my prayers. Please answer my prayers. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Alpha, Omega, you are worthy of my praises today. You are worthy of my praises today. Hallelujah. Ancient of Days, the same yesterday, the same today, the same forever. our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. King of kings, Lord of lords, wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of peace, the Amen himself, the I am that I am. Glory be to your holy name. Thank you for all the past conventions. Thank you for what you did in the past. Thank you for what you are going to do tonight. Thank you in advance for what you will do tomorrow. Please accept our worship in Jesus' name. Father, I'm committing all your children who are here into your wonderful hands. I'm also committing into your hands all those who are watching at the various viewing centers all over the world, and also those who might even be watching online or by television, including those who are listening by radio. Please, Lord, during this convention, do something new. Answer all our prayers and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Let somebody shout hallelujah. Now I want you to shake hands with two or three people and tell them, after God has answered my prayers, he will answer yours. And then give the Lord a big round of applause if you believe that. And you may please be seated. Thank you. Well, just to show you that the Almighty God really means business during this convention, a number of children already born is now 30. Nineteen boys, 11 girls. Let the boys shout praise the Lord. And let the girls shout hallelujah. Okay. I'm sure you know that paramount to us during our conventions is sanitation. The Almighty God says he's walking in our midst. We must keep our camp clean. Cleanliness is next to godliness. So tonight I will only mention the names of those who have done very well in keeping their dormitories and surroundings clean. But as from tomorrow, I will be announcing the dirtiest ones too. The cleanest, as of now, is Ogun Province 4. Followed by Lagos Province 1, and the third is Osun Province 2. By tomorrow, I will begin to tell you those who are not so clean also. You are welcome in the mighty name of Jesus. When the Almighty God told me last year that the theme for this year's convention is going to be Amen, I jumped for joy. I jumped for joy because I know the meaning of that, even before you told me. I know that means God is going to answer prayers. And if you believe he's going to answer your own, let me hear your amen. And so this year's convention is not going to be like any other convention before. I want you to tighten your belts because you are going to pray. The reason you are going to pray is because God himself has promised to answer prayers. And so from time to time, beginning from tonight, I'm going to be calling on you to stand on your feet and pray. When I say stand on your feet and pray, I'm only referring to the young ones. The elders are free to sit down and pray. Like I've explained to you before, if the elders sit down to pray and they fall asleep, that's okay. Because it is written, your old men shall dream dreams. And so to be able to dream, you must sleep first. So tonight, this week, I'm going to be very generous. Very, very generous. Anybody above the age of 60, you can sit down to pray. But if you are less than 60, when I say stand on your feet, jump on your feet and pray. Normally, the way I do it is that anyone who's younger than I should stand to pray. And since I'm 74, if you are younger than 74, you are young. But I want to be generous. If you are less than 60, when I say stand, you stand. If you are more than 60, you are free to sit down and pray. This convention is not going to be like any other convention because I cried to my Father in heaven, and my prayer, my singular prayer to him, is that he would do a new thing. How many of you want God to do a new thing for you? And so the sermons will not be the regular kind of sermons. I may make the altar call long before the sermon is over. So if I make the altar call, don't conclude that the sermon is over. No, it only means we are about to get to that segment when we will be praying. Tell your neighbor, God is about to do something new. Very good. Then, let's go ahead quickly. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Because the topic for tonight is, you shall see God. Thank you, those of you who said amen. I say you shall see God. Matthew chapter 5 verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Of what use is being a Christian if at the end of the day you don't see God? I have advised again and again, if you have not the intention of going to heaven, don't waste your time being a Christian. Enjoy this life. Use every method to make money, so that when you go to hell, you will tell the devil, I tried. But to come to church almost every day of the week, carry the Bible, sing like we sing, shout like we shout, and still go to hell, that'd be terrible. So those of you who really want to go to heaven, lift your hand to the Almighty God. Say, I will see God. Moses was very close to God. Himself and God, they talked intimately. Numbers chapter 12, verse 7 to 8. Numbers 12, verse 7 to 8 tells us that God said he talked to Moses mouth to mouth. That when he's talking to Moses, he doesn't talk in parables. He spoke to him clearly. But the greatest desire of the heart of Moses, in spite of all this intimacy, was, God, I want to see you. Exodus 33, verse 17 to 28. Exodus 33, 17 to 23. Exodus 33, 17 to 23. Moses said, God, show me your glory. I want to see you. Well, God told him, if you see me, you will die. He said, better, I just give you a glimpse of my backside. Well, he saw a glimpse of the backside of God, and the effect was tremendous. Exodus 34, verse 29 to 35. Exodus 34, 29 to 35 said, because he saw that little glimpse of God, his face began to shine like the sun. So bright that people saw him coming and they began to run. And for the rest of his life, he had to cover his face with a veil anytime he was speaking to the children of Israel. You can then imagine what would have been the situation if he had seen God himself. Now, according to Matthew chapter 5 verse 8, which I read at the text, Matthew 5 verse 8, there's a tremendous possibility that you will see God. Now, the statement, you shall see God, can be a promise.
John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3. John 14, verse 1 to 3. Jesus Christ promised the disciples, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He said, "In my Father's house, there are many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I finish preparing the place, I come for you. So that where I am, you'll be also." And we know that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. So there is that promise that one day we'll be sitting down there with him, beholding God. I am decreeing tonight, in that name that's above every other name, that when that final day comes, I will see you there. You shall see God can also be a prophecy. It can be a promise. It can be a prophecy. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. Say, "Beloved, behold the manner of love that the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God." Then he said, it does not yet appear what we shall be. He said, but one thing is certain. We're going to one day be like he is and see him as he is. That's a prophecy for the future. One day, we shall see God. The statement, "you shall see God," can also be a decree. A decree because it's based on the word of God. And we know that the word of God is forever settled. When he says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God," that's written. And according to Psalm 119, verse 89, Psalm 119, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled." So it can be a decree. "You shall see God" can also be a prayer. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 32, Luke 22, verse 31 to 32, Jesus Christ said, "Simon, Simon, Satan wants to have you so he can shift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you." I pray for someone here tonight. No matter how hard Satan may try, you will make it to heaven. But even with the prayer, with the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, some people may still go to hell. My prayer is that you will not be one of them. Because Jesus Christ said, prayed on the night before he died, in John chapter 17, he said he wasn't praying for the world at that time. He was praying for his disciples. He was praying for his followers, that they may be where he's going to be. But Judas Iscariot still went to hell in spite of the prayers.
of God.
Demas, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Demas, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Somebody who had been a co-laborer with Paul the apostle still ended up in hell. Why? He decided to forsake the way. He decided to love the present world. Very soon you are going to be praying some very serious prayers tonight. And one of the prayers you will be praying very soon is that whatever will not let you make it to heaven, the Almighty God will take it away from you tonight. Now, the question comes, why do you want to see God anyway? Oh, several reasons, but we don't have much time, so I just take one. Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11 tells us, in his presence there is the fullness of joy. Is anybody here who is tired of sorrow? Is anybody here who does not want to weep again? Is anybody here who wants to know joy forever? You shall see God. If only I can see him, I know my sorrows will be over. Many a times during my journey with the Lord, particularly as in the period when I became general overseer, when the burden of the work seemed to press me down, there's one thing my wife and I rely on for consolation. The Lord will soon come. And when he comes, all problems will be over. I pray for someone during this convention. Your problems will be over. Now, however, there are conditions for seeing God. Condition number one. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Hebrews 12, verse 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. Don't let anybody deceive you. If you are not ready to live holy, you will not see God. Why? Oh, it's so simple. Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 13. Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 13 says his eyes are so pure, he cannot look on iniquity. Meaning what? If you are still living in sin, he can't even look at you, talk less of you looking at him. His eyes are too pure to behold iniquity. His eyes are so pure that according to Matthew 27 verse 46, Matthew 27 verse 46, when Jesus hung on the cross, carrying your sins and mine, God had to look away. That's why he cried and said, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He could not behold sin. It's not possible for God to look on you when you are covered in sin. Not possible. But thank God, he made a provision. He made a provision in the blood of Jesus Christ, his son. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses from all sins. If you wash in the blood of Jesus Christ, your sins will be washed away, washed clean. And so I'm going to ask those of you who are yet to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, because when we begin to pray, I don't want you to be just making a noise. I don't want you to be praying a prayer that God is not even going to pay attention to. If you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, this is the time to come forward very, very quickly. This is not the end of the sermon. This is just the beginning. And so if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to count from 1 to 12. Okay, I make it 15 because I can see that the auditorium is almost full, even on this first night. So if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you run forward now. Don't delay the rest of us. We still have somewhere to go. But if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to count from 1 to 15. Before I say 15, you must be standing before me here, and then we will pray. God will wash away your sins, and you'll be ready for the rest of the convention. So I'm counting now. 1. Now, those of you already in the front, and those of you already on the way, cry to Jesus Christ and say, "Please, Almighty God, let your blood wash away my sins. I've come to you tonight. Save my soul. Let your blood wash away all of my sins." Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. The rest of us, let's stretch our hands toward these people and pray that the Savior will wash their sins clean, that the Savior will save the souls of all these brethren, that the Almighty God will wash them and make them whiter than snow. Go ahead, pray for them. And those of you on the way, hurry up, and come and cry to Jesus Christ. "Lord, have mercy on me. Save my soul, Lord. Wash away all my sins. I surrender my life to you. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And I will serve you till the very end." Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus. And I want the counselors to come now, very quickly. Counselors, God bless you. Come over quickly. Those of you who are still on the way, hurry up. I'm about to pray for salvation now, because we have to continue with the sermon. Hurry up quickly. Keep coming. I can see you. Make sure you get here before I finish praying. Oh, thank you, Father. Keep coming. Can see you. Some of you see far away. I wait 10 seconds.
Come and cry to him, Lord, have mercy on me, save my soul. Let your blood wash away all of my sins, all of them, all of them, all of them. Let your sin, let your blood wash away all of my sins. Thank you, Father. Father, I must see you on the last day, so let the blood of Jesus Christ wash away all my sins right now, right now, right now. Keep coming, those of you who are still on the way. I'll wait 5 seconds more for you, and then I must pray. Counselors, you have to move a little faster, please. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Hurry up, those of you see on the way, you are the one I'm waiting for. Hurry up. I can see you coming, so I wait for a few seconds more. Hurry up, hurry up. Oh, thank you, Father. Glory be to God. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Yeah. Savior, I just want to bless your holy name. I want to bless your holy name because your word says, no man can come to me except my Father draws him. Thank you for drawing these people to yourself today. And now that they have come, receive them in Jesus' name. That powerful blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, let it wash away all their sins. Save their souls today. Write down their names in the book of life. And please, my Father and my God, don't let them backslide. Yeah. Uphold them till the very end. Yeah. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Yeah. Amen. Now, those of you who have come forward, you are the first fruit of this convention. Let me hear you shout hallelujah. I'm rejoicing with you because by the grace of God from now on, I'll be praying for you. So I need your names, your address, and your prayer requests. The counselors will give you some cards which you are to fill very quickly. That's your own assignment now. Do that even as the rest of us will be continuing with the sermon. Now for the rest of us, in preparation for our prayer number one, the Bible says in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, Mark chapter 8, verse 36. It says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? You know what about that passage is saying? Of what use is anything to you if it's going to rob you of making it to heaven?
Of what use is wealth,
which you can't take to heaven anyway?
Of what use is position?
And you are there today, you are gone tomorrow. As my Father in the Lord will say, if you don't want to leave the position will leave you one day.
Of what use is fame? Of what use is anything
if it's going to rob you of heaven? Stand on your feet. Lift your voice to the Almighty God loud and clear and say, Father, anything I have that will rob me of heaven, take it away from me. Open your mouth and cry to the Almighty God.
Anything I have that will not allow me to see you, Father, take it away from me. Whatever it is, anything at all, that I may have that will rob me of heaven, that will not allow me to see you, Almighty God, take it away from me. Whatever it is,
if I already have it, take it away from me. If I don't have it, don't let me ever have it. Anything at all that can rob me of heaven, Almighty God, take it away from me. Take it away from me, Lord. Take it away from me. Whatever it is. Whatever it may be that will rob me of heaven, Almighty God, take it away from me. I cry to you tonight, Lord. Whatever it is, money, position, influence, fame, anything at all that I have that will rob me of heaven, Almighty God, get it away from me. If I don't want to let it go gently, take it by force. Take it by force.
Thank you, Father. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated as we continue.
Number two, condition number two, if you want to see God, is something the Bible calls sanctification. Salvation is number one. Sanctification is number two. You see, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 verse 8, Matthew 5 verse 8, that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In other words, your heart has to be pure for you to see God. Now, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9, Jeremiah 17 verse 9, that the heart you were born with is wicked above all things, desperately wicked, is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. That is the heart that we were born with. The Bible calls it a heart of stone,
It's an extremely stubborn heart. It does not want to do the will of God. But then the Almighty God promised in Ezekiel 36, verse 25 to 26. Ezekiel 36, 25 to 26. That after he has washed you clean with that precious blood of Jesus Christ, he will give unto you a heart of flesh. A heart that will be willing to do the will of God. Paul the Apostle prayed a prayer for you that you are going to repeat tonight. He said, I pray that the Almighty God will sanctify you wholly, body, soul, and spirit. That you need to be sanctified wholly, completely, in order that you will be able to live that life of holiness. So I want you to please stand on your feet and lift your voice loud and clear to the Almighty God and say, Father, sanctify me wholly, body, soul, and spirit, and give me a heart of flesh, O Lord. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Sanctify me wholly. Give me a heart of flesh, a heart that will do your will, a heart that is willing to serve you, a heart that is willing to obey you, a heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. Sanctify me wholly, Lord. Sanctify me wholly, body, soul, and spirit. Give me a heart of flesh, a heart that is willing to do your will, a heart that will be totally obedient to your word. Sanctify me, holy Lord. Give me a heart of flesh, a heart that will do your will willingly, a heart that will obey you completely, a heart that will be totally surrendered to your will. Sanctify me, holy Lord. Sanctify me, body, soul, and spirit. And give me a heart of flesh. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. So shall it be in Jesus' name. That brings us to condition number three. This number three, we will spend the next few minutes and then I close. Salvation, to wash away your sins. Sanctification, to give you a heart of flesh, a heart that is willing to do the will of God. And then the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's number three. Why do you need the Holy Spirit? John chapter 4, verse 24. John chapter 4, verse 24 says, God is a spirit. It is the spirit that can relate to the spirit. God is a spirit. And that is why Ezekiel 36 verse 27, Ezekiel 36 verse 27 says, after you have been washed clean, after you have been sanctified, and you have been given a heart of flesh, he said, then I will put my spirit within you that will help you to walk in the statutes of the Lord. You need the Holy Spirit. Many of us have been genuinely born again. Congratulations. Some of us have even been sanctified. I believe God had already answered your prayers tonight. But you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For several reasons. God is a spirit, and if you are ever going to communicate with God correctly, it has to be done through the Spirit. You want to worship Him? He said, those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You want to pray? And we are going to do some serious prayers in a moment. You need the Holy Spirit to even help you do the praying. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. Romans 8, 26 to 27. Say, we don't even know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit will be ready to help our infirmities. He will help us pray according to the will of God. David prayed one very serious prayer at a very critical moment in his life. And that is going to be your prayer number three. He said, Almighty God, please don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. I want you to please stand on your feet and cry to the Almighty God, Father, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. When he took the Holy Spirit from King Saul, demons took him over. When he took his Holy Spirit from Samson, he became nothing. Father, don't take your Holy Spirit away from me, please, Lord. Don't ever take your Holy Spirit away from me. Don't take your Holy Spirit away from me, Lord. I cry to you tonight, this first night of the convention, please, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Now, just remain standing, because we'll just take the remaining prayers there straight away. Lift your voice to Him and say, Father, fill me to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Fill me to overflowing, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Fill me to overflowing. Let me overflow with your Holy Spirit. Let me overflow. Fill me to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Lord God Almighty, I cry to you tonight. Fill me to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Fill me to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. If you are saved, if you are sanctified, if you are filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, there is the assurance that you will finish well. So lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, help me to finish well. Open your mouth and cry to the Almighty God. Help me to finish well. Help me to make it to heaven at last. Help me to see you on the last day. Help me, Lord, to finish well. Help me to finish well. Help me, Lord, to finish well. Saved, sanctified, filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord, to finish well. Help me to finish well. Because I must see you on the last day. I must see God. Help me, Lord, to finish well. Let me finish well. Let me finish strong. Let me finish in your kingdom. Let me finish seeing you face to face. Help me to finish well. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Final prayer. Join your hand with your neighbor. And I'm begging you, pray this prayer with everything you have got. Cry to the Almighty God and say, Father, at whatever cost, let me see this, my neighbor, in your kingdom. Come on, talk to the Almighty God. Please, open your mouth. Cry to the Almighty God. Whatever it may cost, at whatever cost, O Lord God Almighty, let me see my neighbor in your kingdom. Let me see my neighbor in your kingdom. I know I'm going to see you. I know by your grace I will see you. But I want to see my neighbor in your kingdom at whatever cost. Whatever you have to do to make that happen. Almighty God, go ahead and do it. I want to see my neighbor in your kingdom. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Almighty. Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. My Father and my God, I want to bless your holy name. I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for the souls that are already saved. I want to thank you because you promised me that you are going to answer prayers during this convention. Please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. My Father and my God, my personal request tonight is that anything you have to do so that when I get to heaven, I will see all these your children, go ahead and do it in Jesus' name. Whatever they are holding on to that cannot enable them make it to heaven, please, my Father and my God, take it away from them. Every stubborn heart
That heart that just wants to do its own, that does not want to do the will of God. Father, change it tonight in Jesus' name. That obedient heart, the heart of flesh, the heart like that of Jesus Christ, give to every one of us tonight in Jesus' name. Fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Help us to finish well. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Let somebody shout hallelujah. Now, I know when you come to a convention like this, there's always something urgent in your heart that probably brought you. So for just 2 minutes, because God is here, you can feel his presence already. For 2 minutes, that thing which is very, very urgent in your heart, talk to God about it. Just for 2 minutes. That thing you want him to do during this convention for you that is very, very urgent, talk to him just for 2 minutes.